Well, it's a joy again to be back in church, and I know that sometimes the weeks get long, but then other ways you look at it, it seems to be a quick time from one meeting in the Lord's Day morning to the next, and we're certainly glad to get to see each of you. We're going to look in the Bible this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you find your place there in 1 Corinthians 15, I did hear this story about this family in the neighborhood had a big old collie dog, and got summertime. They hated for that dog to be so hot in the summer and the heat and the sun, and so they shaved it. But they got creative one time and left a little bunch of hair on its end of its tail, and then some around its neck, and about looked like a lion. It was really funny the way it looked, but they left it running around the house, around the neighborhood. And one of the neighbor boys yelled out to his dad. He said, "Dad, Mom, there's a lion in the yard. There's a lion in the yard." And they said, "There he is not. No, there's not." "Yes, there is. Come on and look at it." And so they finally were convinced by the persistence of the little boy to come in the living room and look out the yard, and said, "Look, right there, he's a lion right there in our front yard." And they said, "That's just that old collie dog, and you know it." He said, "Now, we've talked to you about lying, about telling lies, and we're embarrassed of you. Now, you're going to have to quit that." He said, "And once you get up to your room, once you go talk to God about how you've been lying and telling things aren't true, get up there." I said, "All right, I did." So he went up to his room, and about an hour later, he came down, and the dad said, "Well, did you talk to God about your lying, telling lies, things aren't true?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you have a good talk with him?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you think you got it all figured out?" "Yes, sir." He says, "Matter of fact, God spoke to me." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, God spoke to me." He said, "Well, pray tell me what God tell you while you was up there in the room talking about lying." He said, "Well, he spoke to me and said first time he saw that collie dog, he thought it was a lion too." So, you know the jokes aren't doctrinally correct, right? So I don't want you to judge me on those. The people in Corinth, the apostle was writing to them, and God was using him under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God was using him to write to these people about how they were going to get to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. And Christian people, of course, we realize that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've been sad and disheartened and you're worried about what's going to happen in the future, I can tell you there's only one way. The scripture is very clear. There's only one way to heaven. That's not through this church, not this pastor, but there is only one way, and that is that if you personally receive forgiveness of sin from Jesus Christ by receiving Him as your Savior. That's what this church is built upon. So not only this church, but that's what the Scriptures teach us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14, "no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so it's clear doctrinal, biblical teaching that Jesus is the way to get from this earth to heaven. But the people at Corinth were having some issues and difficulties, and that was, well, that's good, but I can't believe we're going to go walk in streets of gold. I can't believe we're going to go to heaven in this body. And so maybe some thoughts are coming to some minds in here today as well. Say, "Well, I want to go to heaven, but I also know that I've been to enough funerals. I see the body up there at the front of the funeral parlor. So how does all that give?" Well, God used Paul to write to the Corinthians some things about how that would happen. He was going to show them a mystery, just an unknown event, something that was secret that they didn't know yet. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And then it goes on to say in verse 52 of 1 Corinthians 15, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible," and you could look out at your arm at that point and say that this corruptible, this mortality, this what can die, this what can corrupt and decay, "this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal body shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin, the reason it is so strong is because of the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to preach about the next big event, that's the title, but I wanted to give you the framework of why it was originally written to the Corinthians was they were thinking, okay, we want to go to heaven, but there was a great teaching in this, there was a very significant teaching in those days, and it was true then as it is now. And that teaching was that, well, how can you get this body up to heaven? There were a group of religious people who didn't believe in any resurrection. That was the Sadducees. One preacher said that's why they were sad, you see. Sorry. He just laid it right out there. But there was the other group that they did believe in the resurrection, but they did not always effectively teach how the resurrection would happen. What's all the specifics of it? And so we see here the apostle is teaching them that, yes, the dead in Christ, those that sleep in Jesus, those will be raised up. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. You say, well, how would God raise people that have been dead for hundreds of years? You remember where the first man came from, right? God formed him out of the dust of the ground. God's the God of the molecule. He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, and then he came along. He can now raise up or put back together because he is the God of the molecule. And so we see that the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This passage, along with some others, gives the clear presentation of the God's timetable and what's next to happen. My wife Amy is a great planner. She likes to plan when we have trips and different things. We went out to California some years ago with her sister and her family, and Amy liked to plan. We had a bike tour. We went to Alcatraz and went to Mirwood and went to all these different things on our itinerary. We would know what was going to happen next. I always tell her that she can plan the fun out of almost any trip we take. But she likes to have the itinerary of what's going to go on next. Well, I know from Scripture what the next timetable, what the next event on God's timetable is. I can't tell you when it's going to be, but it will be, as listed here in this passage, others in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. If you don't know it already, you should make a little note there to look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 sometime you're studying it out. But the Scripture clearly says that we're going to get enlightened. These readers were going to get a mystery revealed to them. Behold, I show you a mystery, something that you don't know yet, but you will know this. And the mystery is we'll all be changed in verse number 51, and then we'll all be changed again. It mentions it in 52, verse number 52. But I want to look at 4 points this morning and see that if God would help us get our items of agenda in order, but then also be ready for this next big event. Number one, I see an imminent event. Look in verse number 52, if you will. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we see this imminent event, meaning that there's nothing that needs to happen for this event, whatever it is, and we'll look at that in a moment, for this event to take place. It's imminent. It's coming at any time. It's ready to be. It's on the agenda. We just don't exactly know when it's going to take place. We know what imminent events are about. If you grew up in a family and your mom was prone to say words like these, just wait till your dad gets home. Well, she had just pronounced an imminent event on your life, to your chagrin, because you were going to get it when he came home. You know what it's like to live on a gravel road and you've been told something like that, and you hear every car that's coming down that gravel road splinging up gravel. Oh, I hope that's not the Lord. I mean, my dad. Sometimes hard to choose when I wanted to see the Lord. I didn't want to see my dad. I hope that's not my dad. And then finally one of them cut in on that gravel driveway and says, oh, Lord, even so. It's the big one, Ethel. I'm coming home. An imminent event. Well, the scripture pronounced some 2,000 years ago, there was an imminent event. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we, which are alive and remain, should be caught up together with them. They shall be changed, and we should be changed. They'll be raised incorruptible. Those doubters and those scoffers that said, how could this body go to heaven? They were right, because it needed to be changed. And you may be sitting there thinking, how's God going to work all this out? The Bible says the ones that are dead will be raised incorruptible, not corruptible anymore. And then those of us who are left, we will be changed as well. The Lord will return in two parts. Number one, it'll be in the air. The Bible says he'll come in the clouds in 1 Thessalonians. And in the second part of that coming will be later, after he takes us and receives us unto himself. Then the Bible says later, some 7 years later, and we'll come and he will set his feet on the Mount of Olives after all of that. And then we'll have the War of Nations and many other things going on this earth. And you don't have to be an intelligent person to see all that's happening in our world right now, how a lot of different things could line up to say that you say you think that the Lord's in all this. I think that the Lord is a very long-suffering God, and he allows a lot of things to come on that he doesn't author. But I think that he works all those things to eventually, when that War of Nations come and every nation stands against the Lord and he defeats them with the word of God, which is his word, then I think that all of these things line up toward that event that's going to happen on God's timetable. But before that big event, the next one will be that the Lord comes and receives us unto himself. The Bible says that the last trump, for the last trumpet shall sound. I'm told that different groups of the Roman army would have three trumps. Imagine, if you will, that you're in the Roman army and you are sleeping because of the rest that's needed, that the commander would call for the trumpeter to sound. And so I'm told historically that the first trump would arouse everybody, that everybody was awakened by this first trump, all the ones that weren't on sentry duty, that weren't awake already, that the others would awake at that first trump. And then the second trump were to tell all the soldiers to fall in line, quickly get the gear, quickly get the weaponry and all that you had, sleep beside of you, and then get in line. And I'm told thirdly that the third trump would mean we're marching out. That we are marching away. And so when the scripture says here, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, the people in the reading audience that first saw these words on earth would have known that at the last trump is when the troops head out. And so when he said that, at the last trump, then we shall see those people raised incorruptible, and then we shall be changed. They would have known that they were heading out of their current location. I'm saying this morning that there's this imminent event, because verse 53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, as the readers would have known. Now, I don't know how this body is going to get up to heaven. No, he says, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But I see not only is this imminent event that it's ready to happen, but I see in verse 53 and 4 that it's a transforming event. As I said, this corruptible has to transform into incorruption. So, verse 54, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal immortality, then at that time, right at that moment, then shall be brought to pass the saying. And that saying is that death is swallowed up in victory. My friend, if you're a believer in this room today, watching on internet or listening, if you're a believer in Christ, you know Jesus as your personal Savior, there will be a time when you will see him as he is, but you won't be quite like you are, because you will have at that point a glorified body, because the body that you got is not going to do fair so well. This is a transforming event, taking this mortal and making it immortal, and taking this corruptible and making it incorruptible. You know that body that you've got is not a permanent one. How many of you have got some aches and pains? That's what the Bible is talking about in 2 Corinthians. It says, we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Some of y'all groan more than others. I hear you when you're going down the hall. Oh. Can you imagine Adam when he got that curse placed on him? First time he's walking across the bedroom floor, in his case, the garden. his back hurt. Oh, I've never had that before. This mortality must put on immortality. Fellow's getting ready for bed one time. He's took his false teeth out and put them in that little cup on a sink, and he took his hair piece off and put it over on this little funny looking thing on the dresser. Took his glasses off, had one of those trusses to help with a whatever you call those things, and had a knee brace, a back brace, had compression socks, had all this stuff. Finally got in there. He said, "Honey, I feel like I left more out of the bed than I put in bed." That guy was really groaning. But this transforming event, you say, is this stuff real? It's only as real as the Word of God is. And God says that one of these days the Lord will return and He'll receive those that are saved unto Himself. This body that you've got won't do. He's got a glorified body. That's what he says. We shall be changed. I get my hair cut some time ago, and the barber said, you want me to trim those eyebrows? I said, no way. That's what you do to old people. Apparently, I had some big old eyebrow hairs running wild and crazy. I said, get off of that. No. Not till I'm older than I am today. One little boy said, Grandpa, he didn't lose his hair on his head. It's just changing places. Now it's growing out his nose, his ears, his back, and everywhere else. It just moved around up there. Folks, this body, it's wearing out. Now, yours may last longer than other people, but one of these days, none of ours will do. We shall be changed. And I see this transforming event. And if you're hearing this for the first time, please bear with me. I wanted to teach a little bit this morning to tell you that it's so important that we understand. You say, I don't understand all this. I don't understand it all either. I don't know how God's going to do it. I just know the basics from what the Word of God says. We can't get it all because our little brains couldn't receive all that stuff. But I see this transforming event. But not only that, look in verse 54. It's a victorious event. So when this corruptible will put on incorruption, mortal immortality, then that saying will be brought to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, these bodies have been giving us trouble. It's a known fact that the self-help industry are some of the biggest money makers in all of our economy. I'm sure that none of you have seen any ads for diets, right? You haven't seen any ads for getting into shape. Haven't seen any ads for regrowing hair. But the truth of the matter is, you can get it all as good as you can get it, and you should. We can get it as good as we can get it. But when God puts a makeover on you, it will make all the other makeovers be non-existent. You can go to the life coach. You can go to the trainer. You can go to the dietitian. And you can change all those things. And I'm certainly not putting them down. Those are all good things. God's given you one body. We ought to take care of it and use it for His glory. But remember this, my friend. The victorious event that I'm talking about is not what man can do for another man or a lady for another lady. It is instead what God will do for us. The Bible says death is swallowed up in victory. So that, in verse number 55, we can ask this question, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory at? Where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The stinger has been removed. I was talking to Brother Jamie Johnson just earlier and talking about his dear mom and how she's doing in the loss of her husband. And many of you have been going through the same path that they are. And the sting of death is taken away from the believer. It doesn't mean that it doesn't still hurt. It just means we don't sorrow as others, which have no hope. Because the Bible says that this victorious event that will happen for all of us is happening through death to the ones that are going on before the rapture happens. And that means that their old tabernacle will be laid to rest for one of these days in now a burial ground, but one of these days will be a resurrection ground, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we all shall be changed. O death, or sickness, or anything else that you want to put in there, O death, where is thy sting? You've seen it, I'm sure, before. There's somebody walking a huge, big old dog. And then he's walking past somebody's house. And in that house, in the fenced-in yard, there's some little yiping chihuahua. And this big dog that could eat that chihuahua in one bite. But that chihuahua acts like he's 10 foot tall, and he just keeps on lunging at that fence. And I can imagine that little chihuahua saying, oh, let me at him, let me at him. If I could just get at that big dog. And the only thing standing between that chihuahua and doggy heaven is a chain link fence. That little chihuahua would be crushed by that big dog. But he's safe, because that dog doesn't present any problem to him. The threat of that big dog is taken away because some owner saw fit to put a fence all the way around that little yiping, annoying chihuahua, annoying that big dog. Safety has been secured by the owner. Well, my friend, if the worst thing that can be told about me is told to you, or the worst thing that can be told about you is told to me, and that is that we go on, then I hope that you remember this verse. Oh, death, where's your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. The little yiping dog of death may be, it may be nipping at us. But my friend, we are protected. A victorious event. And before I leave you, I just want to finish the passage. And that is in verse number 58. I see not only is it those other things, but it's also a motivating event. Therefore, you know the old sayings that when there's a therefore, you see what it's there for. Well, it's therefore reminding us of all the things that we just said, that we're going to be changed in a moment, where this corruptible will put on incorruption, we'll go and be with the Lord. Death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How do we have that victory? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Listen, folks, if you're feeling like you're beat down and half dead because of all that's going on in the world, don't be lonely there, because there's lots of other Christians that are feeling just the same way. If you feel like, I can't hold on much longer, I can't go forward much longer, seems like everything that death and or everything the devil in hell has to belch up at me, he seems like he's put it on me. I'm telling you this morning, you may feel that way, but I bring you right back to verse number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My friend, this isn't the time to just hold over in the corner and say, I'm just going to hunker down here till Jesus comes back. The apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, said, no, sir, because we've got victory coming, because the rapture is going to happen, because he's going to change these vile bodies into glorious bodies like unto his own, because of all these things, therefore, because of all these things, be steadfast, unmovable, always. And then for the person who says, oh yeah, I'm going to steadfast, I'm going to remain steadfast, I'm going to stay right here and hold our ground, he says not that. He says unmovable. And then he goes further, just for those of us who might think we're just supposed to hold our ground, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are supposed to be, when Jesus comes to find us, occupying. That's why I don't want to pastor a church that just says, all right, everybody, hey, 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 let's all gather in. We'll stay safe right inside these walls, okay? Everybody in here, okay? That's not our job. Our job is to meet for, if you went to a school that had them, for an old-fashioned pep rally once in a while, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for a pep rally, and then say, after we get done, put our hands in, say, everybody, break, and then go out and say, I need to find somebody who doesn't know Jesus. always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, folks, our job is not to get behind there and just get behind the shield and stay there never doing anything. Our job is to stand up with the shield of faith and advance. It's a motivating event. So, Christian, my friend, today, our job is to get busy. The Bible says that the night cometh when no man can work. I'm going to close my eyes in death one of these days if this event of the rapture doesn't happen before I go. And whether I go with him in the air or I go through the avenue of death, my chance to serve him will be gone. I think about us gathered together on this morning. One of these days, he may come when we're gathered. If he does, I'd sure like to be in this room or in one of the other rooms teaching a kids' class or getting my bus stuff ready. I like to be doing something for the Lord when he comes. If you're in this room and you're not saved, the Lord will return, the Bible says, and take those that are his to be with him. I don't want you to be left behind. May you be saved before the Lord returns. I was driving from somewhere some time ago, and the sun was shining through my windshield. You know how you do, and you got to put that sun shield down, and it's hard to see. But what didn't annoy me that morning, because the Lord seemed to fill the car and tell me one of these days it's not going to be the S-U-N shining down. The S-O-N is going to step out on the clouds. And my friend, I want every one of us to be ready, be serving, be informed. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, then I hope that I've poured gasoline on your fire to say one of these days, and it won't be long. And if you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved, I hope that you have felt the urge from not me, but the Lord, to be sure that your faith is placed solely in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Because there's, again, only one way to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. The next big event on God's timetable is, as is said in this passage and in others, the return of the Lord. May we live. Somebody told me one time, said, well, the word rapture isn't even in the Bible. And that's true, it's not. But the word rapture literally means caught up. And so that phrase and that certainly that doctrine is in the Word of God. That's just a phrase or a term we put to it, rapture. The Lord will return to rapture those that are his own. You say, he's going to come get Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Well, he's going to come get not only Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, all the ones that are saved, but believers around the world. It'll be a wonderful day. I trust that we're living in light of that day. Leave you with this. Clarence Sexton, I believe it was, some old preacher said, we ought to live with 2 days in mind. This day, because this is the day we can do something about. You know, there's so many people that live in yesterday. I wish I hadn't done that. I messed up so big. Forget about that. If you've already confessed to the Lord that it's behind, he's forgotten it. Why don't you? So too many of us live in yesterday. This preacher said we ought to live with 2 days, today and that day. I don't know when that day is going to be, but I believe it's going to be soon. And may we live this day in reference to that day. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Dear Lord, I ask you to deal directly with the hearts of everybody in this room. Lord, I pray if there's one or several that are not sure of heaven, that today would be the day that they receive Christ as Savior. If you're listening on the radio or you're sitting in this room, if you're under the sound of my voice and you're not sure that if Jesus returned today, you'd meet him in the air. Can I just tell you this quickly? Number one, everybody in this room and everybody in the world is a sinner. Not good enough to go to heaven on their own. There's none of these churchy people, Baptists, Methodists, all. There's all of them are sinners, all of us. And you are as well. And that because of that sin, you and I deserve to go to a place called hell. Oh, that's a horrible place. Never designed for us. But we, when we reject Christ, that's where we're headed. But Jesus died for your sins. Every single one of them. And He paid the price for your sins when He died on the cross of Calvary. He died, was buried, and rose again for you, for me. And now today, the choice is yours. Do you receive what He did and ask Him into your life to be your Savior, asking Him for forgiveness of sins, turning from your own ability? Or do you continue on down your path of life? Well, the world says, find your own way. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, if you're here or listening and you're not sure Jesus is your Savior, you've never received Him as such, would today be that day? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you've never done that, oh, would it be your day? If you're a Christian listening or in this room today, would you pray for somebody that's maybe not saved? That's weighing in the balances right now. If that's you, I beg of you, where you sit or where you listen, that in your heart, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with your heart, that you receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You say, how do I do that, John? You simply, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says that you, from your heart, you cry out to the Lord. You ask Jesus to forgive your sins, come into your life, and take you to heaven when your time comes. Simple as that. There are so many religions, so many big steeple churches, and little churches for that matter, that have made it so complicated and convoluted that it's hard to get down to what the true Word of God says. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us. If you're here and you're not saved, would you there in your seat, there in your heart, ask Jesus to be your Savior? And if you're here and you're saved, you're listening and you're saved, let's live this week in light of the soon return of Jesus Christ. That means if there's folks I need to go make things right with, I'm going to go do it. If there's folks I need to tell some things to, I'm going to go tell them. If there's some activities I need to get disassociated with, I'm going to go do it. Let's live in light of the soon return of Jesus Christ. I've had you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed for a long time, but would you stand together with us? You, and as they begin to play, you can either stay there in an attitude of prayer or you can make your way to this altar if you like. But I want to stand so that we can make it easy. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel is right here in front of the pulpit. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. You say, are you going to make a Baptist out of me? I'm not. You're going to make us join the church? No, I want to introduce you to Jesus. As they play through, would you come if God has moved upon your heart? As they play just a little bit longer, if you've got something heavy on your heart and you want to come pray about this, altar is open for you. can look this way. Well, what a joy to be in church, God's house, 1157. I hope this has been a wonderful hour for you. I believe that the Lord has done something great, and I'm thankful for what He has done, and I trust that you feel the same. I want to ask the deacons to be dismissed to the lobby, and deacons and their wives, whoever wants to go with them, and then some others are making their way back to our guest services counter, and others had to slip out because of one thing or another. And so, as I mentioned, we will have that vote tonight. And I'd like for everybody to be here, just be a part of that. I believe the Lord's going to let us use it for great and mighty things for His glory. And we'll share more about that as the time comes on. But I believe the Lord has led us in this window of opportunity. And so I'd like for you, though, to come back and be a part of that vote. But I want you to take your time. Talk to any of the deacons. Talk to myself. Amy and I will be out there. And we'll have a good time. Ladies, as Brother Daniel mentioned, that ladies' Bible study starts this Thursday. If you need any information, you can talk to Amy about that. And I know that they always have a great time. Thank you for being in church. Brother Daniel is going to come and dismiss us in prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the wonderful morning we've had. Lord, thank you for the message. And Lord, the reminder that we have that, Lord, one day we're going to shed all of this and we're going to rise to be with you in heaven for all of eternity. And Lord, I pray that everybody in this room can make that statement. And if not, that you'd work in their hearts and lead them to salvation. Lord, I pray you'd bless the day, keep us safe as we go and come back tonight. Lord, help us have a great afternoon. We thank you for our church. Guide us as we seek you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.